Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Cordera Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive. Today's date is October 26, 2015. First and foremost, I want to give thanks to Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala for, you know, giving me like this morning and being able to use my faculty. You know, we have to keep a little first in all that we do throughout the day, from morning to night. And for the listeners who, you know, do listen in on a call, you know, this is something that I always state, that, you know, it's very important that we keep that in the forefront of, you know, any and everything that we do. For those who are listening who are not Muslim, we have a saying called Inshallah, which means that by the will of Allah, that this is something we wish to occur. So we say Inshallah when we tend to do anything. Various topics that I'm going to cover tonight. I just wanted to do some housekeeping on my group, Muslims Loving Sadaqa. I'm going to get the GoFundMe account up and running. Unfortunately, I couldn't get into getting the account open. Again, I wanted to have those checks and balances in place as far as, you know, myself not being the only person on that, on those accounts. So I chose to, you know, keep it where, you know, I want to have at least three people on the call. I don't want to have, you know, more than just myself on the call. I want to have more than three people on the call. So, I mean, on the account. So that's why I haven't opened the account yet. And I am still looking forward to anyone who wishes to participate in that. Feel free to contact me at 610-836-2120, and I'll speak with you to, you know, cover the information that I'm trying to obtain to open those accounts for Muslims Loving Sadaqa. And the basis of the account is, you know, I'm looking for 1,000 Muslims to dedicate just $10 a month. $10 a month is 32 cents a day. And that is to be able to aid Muslims in and around the city of Philadelphia and the surrounding counties to be able to help with issues such as utility bills, rent, also funeral costs, or food. So the monies that we collect, we will not distribute money. What we will do is, if you have a utility bill that needs to be paid, what we will do is we would obtain your account information and we would pay that bill on your behalf. If it is for something like rent, we would then take those funds and contact your landlord or the rent company that, you know, houses the payments. We would send the funds directly to them. Same thing with funeral expenses. We would not give you the money directly. We would send that money directly to the funeral home or whatever facility it is that would be handling the affairs for your departed loved one. Also, for, like, food expenses, we would not give you money again. We would give you a gift card to your area supermarket or a supermarket that is, you know, close within your area. So we would give you the funds for that via a gift card. So again, no money would be exchanged, and we would do that on your behalf. So that was just something that I wanted to put out there. And I'm also trying to get a chapter for Muslims for Social Justice. There is a national chapter established already. We're trying to get a local chapter within Philadelphia. So if anybody is interested in joining Muslims for Social Justice, contact me again on Facebook, Instagram, most such social networks. And, you know, I can give you additional information regarding that. So tonight's topic is fornication and adultery from Islamic perspective. And there's a few things that I want to cover before, you know, I dive deep into this particular topic. I'm going to break it up. I'm going to deal with the case of fornication, and then I'll go into adultery. We know as Muslims that whatever is indicated in the Quran and whatever has been established in Hadith, that these are things that we follow. There is no saying, okay, I don't take from that, or I don't adhere to Quran, or I don't adhere to Hadith on this particular topic, because we know these are things that Allah has, you know, ordained for us to do in the Quran, and the Sunnah is from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his teachings and different things that happened in his time. But those things still apply to us today, even though they were 1,400 years ago. These are things that still apply to us today, and we have to adhere to them. Something that I had heard on a lecture, which made a very good, valid point, was that even if, you know, you're in a country or a place where something was haram and now it's made halal, we still don't follow that. We follow the Quran and Hadith, what it states that we should do, not what man has said we should do regarding the act. And for example, we know that drinking intoxicants is haram. Alcohol is haram in Islam. So that doesn't mean after the age of 21, you can go ahead and drink alcohol because it is then legal within your state. So that's an example of, you know, how I'm trying to explain the differences. Like, once something is halal, we can't make it haram, and vice versa. If it's haram, we can't make it halal. This is a topic that, you know, most people think generally about fornication. They think it's just the act of copulating with the opposite sex. It's not in great detail. That's part of it, but it's not the whole portion of what fornication is. And we have to understand that are reasons why you don't do these things. And it's not just that, you know, oh, you have to be married, you know, to do this. It's a moral balance between good and bad. I mean, because if you could fulfill your nafs on anyone and anything, this world would be chaotic. So it's checks and balances. If you think about it, you know, if you have people who are preserving themselves to, you know, wait until they're married to have sex, it's a benefit for everyone. Some people may not see it like that, but there's a benefit in it. And there's a reason behind it. I mean, you know, it cuts down on transmission of sexually transmitted diseases. It prevents children out of bed. It has a lot of things behind it, and this is why Allah stated that we should not do this. This is something that we should not do. Now, you know, and this was something that, you know, I knew even before I became Muslim, I knew that having sex before marriage was a sin. I was Christian. I was raised Christian. So that was one of the beliefs that, you know, was instilled in me, that this is something that you don't do. So, you know, in Islam, you, it was made clearer that this is something that you don't do. You don't have sex before you're married. And it's looked at more significantly in Islam than it is in other religions. You know, it's right up there with one of the top things. You don't have sex before you're married. I mean, it's really a major sin. So a lot of people don't understand that, yes, sexual penetration is fornication, and that's between the penis and the vagina. Yes, that's the major way that you can commit that sin. But there's also other things, oral sex, anal sex, we already know. So any of those types of forms of sex are also a sin. But, you know, back in February, you know, I like to study and I like to read a lot of different things. So I came across an article where it went into a great amount of detail regarding fornication and adultery. And it opened my eyes a little bit more regarding that subject. And it made me sit back and think, like, wow, this is deep. And, you know, I may have, you know, done these things before, not intentionally, you know, thinking I'm committing fornication. Nobody would, you know, I don't think intentionally do it, but you have to be very mindful of how you go about your daily actions and your routines, because you can put yourself in these situations and not even know it. So I felt as though it's very important that I explain this in greater detail. Now, for anybody who's listening on the call, and if you follow me on Facebook, you can go to my notes. I have a note listed, because this particular article was too long to put, like, in my news feed or my timeline, so I had to create a note. And the title of the note is Zina is Not Just Penetration. And I created it back on February 5th of this year. So the entire note is out there with all the dalil, the various ayats, the various hadith with their listing, and various sayings from, you know, well-known accredited sheikhs on this particular topic. So if anyone has a question, comment, or concern throughout the call that you want to, you know, say something in regards to this topic, feel free to call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1. So I'm going to get into the note. I'm going to dig into the note. Now, a lot of people got upset with me before regarding this topic. I mean, because I made a lot of people aware of, you know, what's going on. And it's something that you should know. It's definitely something that you should know about this situation so that you don't fall into it. And I felt as though it's very important to educate everyone on this. It's extremely important to understand, you know, what constituted as a sin. I'm going to get into it. It says, zina, adultery or fornication, does not refer only to penetration. So be mindful of it. So it's not just penetration. So the acts that I'm about to elaborate on constitute a form of zina. It's, as we know, like with shirts. You have the major shirt and then you have minor shirt. So how I'm going to break it down is you have the major zina, which would be actual physical penetration of the sexual part. You also have the lesser zina. These all constitute a sin. One may be greater than the other, but, again, it's a sin. So we need to be mindful of these things and make sure that we don't fall into these categories. So rather there is the net of the hand, which is touching that which is forbidden. So that means if, you know, a sister sees a brother she knows, or vice versa, a brother sees a sister that he knows, that he walks up to her and, you know, he gives her a hug. That's a form of zina. If that is someone that is lawful for you to marry, you should not be hugging that person. So, you know, again, we have to be mindful that's a form of zina. And zina of the eyes. So we all know the famous hadith that says lower your gaze for women and men. Like, it's not just men lower your gaze. Women, you should lower your gaze as well. So, you know, in that hadith it goes, the first look is okay, but the second is haram. So if you look away and then look back, that's a form of zina. So, we should be mindful of these things. Also, even though zina that is committed with the private parts is the zina which is punishable with the had punishment, it was narrated from Abu Huraira that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has decreed for every son of Adam his share of zina, which he will inevitably commit. The zina of the eyes is looking, the zina of the tongue is speaking, one may wish and desire, and the parts confirm that or deny it. So when you're talking to someone that you could possibly marry, that's a form of zina. Now, I was listening to a lecture. Don't get mad at me, everybody. I just want to convey what one of the sheikhs said. And it was that if you are a Muslim woman and your wali, listen to the terminology that I'm stating, your wali. So a wali is someone that is not blood related to you or like an immediate member of your family. That is someone that was either appointed to you through the masjid, or this is someone who has taken on that right to you would be their ward, or they would look over any potential brothers and give authorization to marry them through your wali. Now your wakil is a blood relative. Like my wakil is my brother, who is my blood brother. We had the same mother and father. So, you know, he's not lawful for me to marry, so I could be alone with him. Your wali, you should not be alone with him, because in all actuality, he is lawful for you to marry. If he doesn't have four wives, he's lawful for you to marry. And also, you know, you should not be alone. Him or you should not be alone with each other without the accompany of someone else. So, you know, some people was like, well, no, you have some brothers out there who want to marry their wards, and they go about it in different ways. And also, you know, seeking out different opportunities just to call the brother unnecessarily, or, you know, vice versa, the brother calling the sister unnecessarily, you know, and other things lead to other things. Again, we have to be mindful that you two are lawful to be married to each other. So we have to take that in consideration and make sure that we don't fall into that category of zina. So it states, it is not permissible for the Muslim to long for the things that lead to zina, such as kissing, being alone, touching, and looking. But all these things are haram. And it comes from the interpretation of in the Quran, Surah 17, Ayat 32. And come not near to unlawful sex. Verily, it is a transgression and a great sin and an evil that leads one to the hell unless Allah forgives them. So what does that mean? That means that you should not put yourself in a compromising position. So if someone says, okay, you know, let's meet up, you don't meet up with that person, you don't be alone with that person, and then some people think it's okay to go out to dinner, to the movies, things like that, and then just part ways after you finish dinner or after you, you know, finish the movie or whatever like that. Like, we're not kissing, we're not touching, you know, we just went to dinner, you know, and nothing happened. We're not alone with each other. So we're out in public places, so that's cool, that's fine. Absolutely not. Because, again, it says that zina is with the eyes, and zina also happens with the tongue. So, no, you might not be kissing, you may not be touching, but you're speaking and you're looking. And so those, I don't know, we're adults. Most of us here are very mature for our ages, so you know what that can lead to, you know, situations. We watch TV. One thing leads to another. So, you know, we're not going to act like we're kids here. We don't know any better. You guys know. And, of course, we try to find all different things, different avenues to try to get around it or whatever like that. In the Quran, you know, point blank, no, it's not physical penetration, but it's Quran. You know, nonetheless, we shouldn't look at that as no greater than, oh, is, you know, is this that? We're not doing anything. Yeah, it's Quran, but no, you shouldn't classify a major sin from a minor sin. A sin is a sin, and unless you seek Toba from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincere Toba for your transgressions, then, you know, that sin could still be heavily weighed against you. You know, so it says, looking at that which is forbidden is one of the arrows of the shaitan, which leads a person to doom, even if he did not do it intentionally at first. Allah says in Surah 24, ayats 30 and 31, tell the believing men to lower their gaze from looking at forbidden things and protect their private parts from illegal sexual acts. That is purer for them. Verily, Allah is all aware of what they do. And tell the believing women to lower their gaze from looking at forbidden things and protect their private parts from illegal sexual acts. So, you know, it's telling us that we should, as Allah-fearing Muslims, we should guard our private parts. And that means not even getting to the step of where we allow things to escalate. Because, you know, in all actuality, we may say to ourselves, okay, I know I'm not going to talk to that brother. Like, you know, all right, you know, we just inbox each other. It's nothing. That's the shaitan. That's the shaitan. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that, okay, yes, a brother can have more than one wife. Absolutely. That's something that, you know, Allah stated that a brother who can see fit to treat a second, third, or fourth wife fairly, equally, and have responsibility over them, can do that. But you have a lot of sisters who take it upon themselves, and, you know, they can, if they are not virgins and they've been married before, they can approach a brother. But there's always a tactful way to do these type of things is, you know, you reach out to the brother and you say to him, you know, I was wondering if you were interested in getting married. And if the brother says, yes, I was, you know, I am looking for another second, third, or fourth wife, you know, you don't continue the conversation then. The sister should say to the brother, well, here's my Rock Hill information. I'm going to let him know that you will be contacting him to, you know, discuss this further. That's it. There should be no back and forth conversation between you and a potential second, third, or fourth wife. It should not be. And, you know, people try to justify that all they want and say, oh, I'm not telling my wife because she's going to be mad and she's going to be upset and this and that. But the way you're going about it is a sin. I mean, it's a sin, plain and simple. You should not have any contact with that sister via inbox, via telephone, via no kind of way. You should be speaking directly to her by kill. And this is the same thing. If a brother is contacting you, you should put the brother in his place and say, look, Assalamu alaikum, you know, this is not proper conduct for you to be contacting me. If you want to contact me and you want to find out more about me, you go to my wakil or my wale. That's it. But, you know, a lot of people want to use this as justification because, you know, they don't want their wife to be upset because she wouldn't accept polygyny, so forth and so on. So you carry on these haram relationships with these sisters. And sisters, same thing. I'm not, you know, bashing the brothers. Sisters, you're engaging in this, and you think it's funny that, you know, these brothers do this, or you're purposely seeking brothers out. Sometimes it's not even with the intention of getting married. It's just, you know, for other purposes. I'm not going to get into that, but it's for other purposes. And, you know, these are things that we should be mindful of. These should be things that we should respect, because if you were married and the brother did you the same exact way, you would definitely feel some type of way. You would definitely feel some type of way if he was carrying on an illicit conversation or a relationship with someone that he was able to marry and not respecting the sanctity of marriage and also the rules and guidelines that Allah has set forth, and also, you know, what is in Hadith that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has set forth for us to be, you know, productive, positive Muslims. You know, these are things that just should not take place. First and foremost, it shows that you don't have haya. This is a bad taste. This is a bad taste all the way around because, you know, like they have an old saying, the same way you got him is the same way he'll leave you. So, you know, just be respectful to people's, you know, marriages. I mean, you know, these aren't boyfriend, girlfriend type relationships. These people are married. They, you know, stood in front of witnesses and, you know, before Allah and accepted their vows and that they said they, you know, would be respectful of each other. And then, you know, all these things go on, which are a form of zina. Again, touching, speaking, hearing, seeing, all this is a form of zina. It's not a major sin, but it's the minor sin. And again, as I stated before, a sin is a sin, and we shouldn't look at one greater than the other. Again, if anybody's out there and, you know, you want to speak or you have a comment, question, or concern, you can call in at 805-727-7013, and I will put you through. Just press 1 to speak. So I'm going to continue. And it says, Allah tells us that he is all aware of what people do and that nothing is hidden from him. This is a warning to the believer against doing that which Allah has forbidden and turning away that from that which Allah has prescribed for him. And it is a reminder to him that Allah sees him and knows all that he does, whether it is good or otherwise. As Allah says in the interpretation of the Quran, Surah 40, Ayat 19, Allah knows the fraud of the eyes and all that the breast conceals. So, you know, you can try to keep it in the closet, keep it under the rug, but Allah knows, and if you don't make sincere tawbah for it, it could be on that scale on the left. You know, it says, one of the greatest means of expiation for such sins is offering the 5 daily prayers regularly and on time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the 5 daily prayers, and from one Jummah to the next, and from one Ramadan to the next, expiate for the sin that has come between, so long as you avoid major sin. And that's narrated in Muslim 1:209. Again, that whole note, and it goes into some greater detail, can be found in my notes. If you follow me on Facebook, you would just go into notes. It's dated February 5th, 2015, and the title is Zina is Not Just Penetration. So now I want to talk about adultery. So with fornication, and this is also, it also incorporates adultery, but I want to make sure that the callers on, the listeners on the line, understand the difference between the two. Fornication is illicit sex, so that would be oral, anal, which we know is haram to do, and vaginal. So if you have sex that way with someone, that is considered fornication. On top of that, it incurs another sin, which is adultery. So adultery means that one or two of the parties are married and they're committing fornication. There is more detail in regards to adultery. The sin for fornication is one thing. The punishment, if we were in a country that established Sharia law, the punishment would be one thing for a person who commits fornication. There's another punishment on top of that is if you were married. So, you know, these are things that, you know, we take for granted here in the United States where, you know, people just go around having illicit sex, doing whatever they want to do, Muslim or not. They just don't care. They do what they want to do. You know, you have these children of the bed around here walking around with no rights, no nothing. And, you know, a lot of people, someone had asked me before and said, you know, why is it that, you know, the woman incurs a heftier penalty for having sex and the man doesn't, as far as, you know, the rights of the children if you have a child in the bed? Why isn't the father held responsible? And this is why. Women should remain chaste. And it's a punishment for you to learn how to not have sex before marriage. It is to make you aware that, you know, if we were living in an Islamic country and you had a child in the bed, you could not get child support for that child. They're not going to give you anything. And basically you're going to be, like, shunned in the community because this is something that they don't do. So, you know, this is why it's really heavily, you know, looked at in Islamic countries. This is something that you don't do. And over here in the United States, we go about it freely. Like, we do it every day like it's nothing, like it's not a sin, like it's not a major sin, and it's okay to do, and people want to sugarcoat it and, you know, just have all kinds of ideas and questions about it and try to, you know, smooth it over like it's actually something that's okay to do when we know it's not. And the penalty is for you to remember that you shouldn't have done this. Now, you know, here in the United States, we don't live under Sharia law. So, you know, if you do have a child to be, you could take the guy for child support and all kinds of other things, this and that, and, you know, and go about your life. But this is not what is stipulated in Quran and Sunnah, and we should follow those things to the best of our ability. You know, we should not take it upon ourselves and try to do what we want to do, or even, you know, look at it in a less, you know, tougher way. You know, like people, oh, she got a baby, this and that, and, you know, you agree with it and it's cool with you and stuff like that. No, it's wrong. It's wrong regardless, you know. This is something that we have become too desensitized on. You know, we should really focus on adhering to Quran and Sunnah and making it a daily practice in our lives and not falling into those categories. So, you know, next we're going to go into adultery. And it says in Quran, Surah 24, Ayah 2, the woman and the man guilty of unlawful sex, adultery, or fornication, flog each of them with 100 stripes. Let not compassion move you in their case in a manner prescribed by Allah, if ye believe in Allah in the last day, and let a party of the believers witness their punishment. So, again, we cannot take this as something light because we're not in a Muslim country. A lot of people would not be doing the things that they do so freely and, as they say, willy-nilly. You know, and the post that I had actually put the flyer up on, I said, don't let your yams, which are halal, turn to hams, which is haram. And that's something that, you know, in the Philadelphia area, it's a slang terminology, you know, to have sex with a female. They say you get the yams or whatever like that. But we know that this is haram unless you two are married, and you shouldn't be discussing your bedroom activities with anyone, period. So that was the reason for me, you know, making the flyer that way. And, you know, a lot of people, well, people from the Philadelphia area know why I put it like that. It was meant to be a little satire joke. But, you know, and from that verse, Ayat 24, verse 8, it says, when we read ahead of the above verse, it becomes more manifest. If only the context of consecutive verses is not overlooked. The following is a translation of the 8 first verses of the surah. So I'm going to read those so that you can have a better understanding of that verse. 1, a surah which we have sent down and which we have ordained. In it we have sent down clear signs in order that ye may receive admonition. 2, the woman and the man guilty of adultery or fornication, flog each of them with 100 stripes. Let not compassion move you in their case in a manner prescribed by Allah, if ye believe in Allah in the last day, and let a party of the believers witness your punishment. So why do you think Allah said, let the believers witness their punishment? And, you know, again, I'm no scholar, but I do have comprehension, and it's a deterrent. If you've seen someone get 100 lashes, you know it's real. You know it's real. And it takes, if this actually took place, especially in Islamic countries, they had proof. They had proof that these two people committed adultery or fornication. They had sound proof. So for this to get here, it had to lead up to a number of things. Because, you know, even if you did tell somebody, if we lived in an Islamic country, if you told on somebody or whatever like that, they're going to say, we're your two witnesses. And we know that two witnesses, they would have to be two men. If it was women, you would need 4 witnesses. You would need 2 women for each man. And they would have to witness the act of fornication. They would have to witness it. So you would have to have you and 2 people, if it was 2 men, or you would have to have you and 4 people actually witness the actual act of fornication in order for this to be carried out, their punishment. If we were an Islamic country. So we know that people will keep this hush-hush, especially if they're in an Islamic country. They're not going to go around and be committing zina and, you know, how they do on social networks, just putting it out there or letting it be known without no care in the world. They're not doing this in no Islamic country because they already know what their punishment would be if they were so open with their sinning. And we know that as long as you know the sin is a sin, you can be forgiven for it, and you can make sincere tawbah and repent for that action. But see, when you start to believe that a sin is not a sin, or it's not that major, it's not all like that, y'all making it all extra. Committing fornication is a major sin. It's right up there with killing somebody. So, you know, again, we have to be mindful of this and not let the shaitan deter us and confuse us to thinking that these things are okay to do. They're not. We shouldn't sugarcoat these things. So, 3, let no man guilty of adultery or fornication marry any but a woman similar, guilty or an unbeliever, nor let any but such man or an unbeliever marry such a woman to the believer. Such a thing is forbidden. So we know, and a lot of people know that that verse, from, you know, the Quran where it says good men are for good women and bad men are for bad women. So if you know that this person is an open fornicator and an open adulterer and has no shame in the world, and this person is coming to, you know, your community to marry somebody, and you know this, it is your duty to speak up and say, don't let that person, and this could be for the man or woman. You know this sister's sleeping with whoever and doing whatever, you know, when her record is real shady and shot. No, you don't cover that up, because think about it. If that was your son or daughter or your brother or sister, your niece or nephew, your mom, you know, your mom or dad for some, because, you know, we have some young people that are on the line. So, you know your mom and dad, you know, looking to get married. And, you know, I know that people, we have to be careful with slander, but I'm talking about this is confirmed stuff. Like, this is, you know, like with Facebook and all these social networks, people openly put their sins out there. So when people openly put their sins out there, we don't have to cover that. We don't have to cover that. If somebody was trying to conceal their sin as best as they could, and they, you know, was concealing it, but you went digging and dug it up and then revealed it, that's where the sin comes in at, and that's where you're wrong at. And, you know, inshallah, that's what my call will be about on Thursday, Giba, or backbiting and slander. It's a very thin line with that, but certain times with certain things need to be known, and it's not a sin if you do reveal those things on certain people for certain situations. So I'll get more into in depth with that. But, you know, if you know somebody is, you know, just openly, you know, admitting that they sleep with all these people, because people do it on Facebook. I mean, you see people openly drinking. You see people openly smoking marijuana. You see people coming out there, garbs. I mean, you know, you see all kinds of stuff. And people have no shame in what they're doing, and they openly do it. And if you see somebody like that openly doing it, then, you know, if you know that person is seeking to get married and they're going to, you know, some a sister or a brother who is pious and, you know, upright and standing in the community, it's your duty to tell that person no. And, you know, you don't have to really even get into detail about it and just like, you know, I don't think that person would be right for you. Just their character and their, you know, whatever. And if the person wants to dig deeper, you know, you can refer them back to them. Like, you know, you need to ask them what they into. But I just thought that you should know, you know, what's going on with that person. And I just don't think that, you know, that would be a good person for you to be married. And, again, that's for brothers or sisters. It's no discrimination there. It's no discrimination there. That's why it's, you know, back in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, you knew people within the community. You knew them. You knew their character. You knew their lineage. And, you know, and unfortunately in today's time, we don't have that. We don't have that connection because the community is all over the world. So, you know, you have to do your homework. You have to be diligent, and you have to do a lot of homework. So going back to the 9 points, and those who launch a charge against chaste women and produce not 4 witnesses support their allegations, flog them with 80 stripes, and reject their evidence, even after for such men are wicked transgressors. 5, save those who afterward repent and make amends, for such Allah is forgiving and merciful. 6, as for those who accuse their wives but have no witnesses except themselves, if they bear witness 4 times with an oath by Allah that they are solemnly telling the truth, 7, and the 5th oath should be that they solemnly invoke the curse of Allah on themselves if they tell a lie. Now, I don't know anybody who, I mean, that's some tough stuff right there. Like, you saying wallahi, like, you swearing by Allah. And if you are lying just to punish that person because you're mad at them, like, on the day of Yom Kiyama, your punishment is going to be so much worse than what your wife got. So, you know, brothers, be mindful of that. You know, if you live in an Islamic country, be mindful that, like, you know, no matter how mad or angry you are with your wife, if she didn't do it or you don't have proof, you're just assuming, don't swear, don't take that oath, because that could be very detrimental to yourself, to your own soul. So, you know, be mindful of that. 8, but it would avert the punishment from the wife if she bears witness 4 times with an oath by Allah that her husband is telling a lie. So, sisters, you can counteract that, like, he's lying. He's lying. But again, I'm going to read the 9th one. And the 5th oath should be that she solemnly invokes the wrath of Allah on herself if her accuser is telling the truth. So, sisters, again, if you knew that you was doing it, don't try to stop your husband because you don't want your punishment. You know, like I tell people all the time, I'd rather get my punishment here than to suffer my punishment in the hereafter. Because I'm telling you, I already know it's going to be 10 times worse than what it could be here. So I'd rather receive my punishment now than to receive it, you know, on the day of Yama Kiyama. I don't need that left scale being heavy at all. You know, I had made a lot of people laugh the other day when I said, you know, no, people who aren't openly sinning and, you know, broadcasting, you know, their sins. I mean, you know, righteous Muslims know that they shouldn't do that. And, you know, some Muslims just don't care. They won't do it. But like I said, you can conceal all you want. You can hide it from whoever. You don't have to put it on Facebook. You don't have to tell nobody. You can be sneaking and creeping. You can do whatever you want to do. But best believe, that angel on the left got carpal tunnel. Hand jacked up. Hand is jacked up. Because all they do is record all day long. You know, and, you know, this call wasn't, you know, so much so as, you know, to point the finger and, you know, bash everybody like that. No, this call was a call for awareness that we have to be mindful of these things. We have to be mindful of our actions. We have to take in consideration that, no, we may not be receiving our punishment here, but on the day of Yama Kiyama, the day of judgment, we are going to have to stand before Allah and answer for those sins that haven't been forgiven. And nobody wants that left scale weighing greater than the right scale. So, you know, seek sincere tawbah for your sins and, you know, be sincere with it. And not only, you know, be sincere to Allah for asking for forgiveness, but say to yourself that you're not going to commit those sins again. You know, like you can keep asking Allah for forgiveness. Absolutely, you can keep on asking Allah for forgiveness because Allah likes those who come to Him and ask for mercy. He loves it. But we should be mindful that we should not keep, you know, committing these sins and then we know that we can just go to Allah and ask for forgiveness because Allah is all merciful. We should seek to not turn back to those sins again and, you know, stay away from them. Don't put ourselves in those type of situations where we can get caught up in those type of situations because one thing leads to another. And, you know, again, it may not have been our initial intention to go and commit zinah with somebody, but, you know, the shaitan, he plays on people. He plays. He knows what your weaknesses are, so he plays on those and will set you up to fail. He will set you up to fail every time, and this is what he is here for. You know, he asked Allah for respite until the day of judgment. I'll show you how ungrateful they are. I'll show you that they won't listen to you. I'll show you they'll disrespect you. They don't care about what your laws say. They're going to do what I say because this is who man is. And we know man is created weak in spirit. We know that. So, you know, it is our obligation as Muslims to, you know, not fall into those kinds of traps because that's what the shaitan does. You know, and for some, he don't have to work too hard. He don't have to work too hard. Some people just don't care, and they will, you know, fall into those categories and, you know, put themselves in that type of situation. So, you know, it's it's deep, and we, you know, we should definitely try to study up on it, because, you know, there's various tortures of the grave for various sins that you commit. And, you know, it's not no joke. You know, that's the one thing people fail to realize, that there's no do-overs. There's no do-overs once you're dead. That's it. There's no more repenting. There's no more asking the Lord for a second chance. So we should appreciate that Allah even gave us the choice to seek his forgiveness. You know, we have a choice. You know, unlike the angels who are commanded to do everything that Allah states, they have no free will. They can't say, oh, I ain't doing it, or I'm not doing it. They were created to be obedient. They don't disobey Allah. But men and jinn, we have the ability to have free will and do what we want. And we should be, you know, very merciful and very thankful that Allah even gave us the opportunity to be able to repent for those things. And, you know, the shaitan plays on it. You know, I was reading some literature about that, where the shaitan will say, oh, you think Allah won't forgive you? He ain't going to forgive you. Like, look how many times you've done this. Why are you going to keep repenting for the same thing? You know he ain't going to forgive you. And the sin is when we think that Allah won't forgive us. We don't know how merciful Allah is. We only can think about how merciful Allah is. And we know that Allah's attribute of mercy compares to nothing on this earth. Absolutely nothing. His mercy is nothing that we could think about. So when we become ignorant and think that Allah won't forgive us for those sins, that's where the shaitan wins. So we should, even when we think that we are the most wretched of wretched, I see people use that word all the time wrong, because they say ratchet, and it's not ratchet. Ratchet is a wrench that you use in a tool, as a tool. Wretched, wretched is the correct word. We are some wretched souls, but we should not think that Allah won't forgive us for our sins, because we don't know what his mercy can do. We don't. We can think it, but we don't know the weight of Allah's mercy. So we should always seek Allah's favor and pardon in these type of situations. You know, this, again, try to avoid these types of situations at all costs. This, you know, don't put yourself in situations. You know, brothers be in the inbox. You know, assalamu alaikum, how your day going, what you doing, all that. No, how can I help you? You know, I that's how I do. Get in the inbox, give them the greeting back, how can I help you? And they're like, what you mean, how can I help you? What can I help you with? Why are you here? And they're like, oh, you ain't got to be all like that. Well, I am being like that. How can I help you? What do you want? And usually they'll back off from that, because they're like, oh, this is she, you know, she too much, this and that, I ain't bothering her, like this and that. But that's how it should be. If you contacted me, it's no chit-chat. What are we chit-chatting about? If you're interested in me for marriage, you should say, after you give me the greeting, are you looking for marriage, sister? I'll return back and give you the greeting. Yes or no? Next question, I would say on that, so he don't have to keep coming back. If it's no, give him the salam and, like, have a good day, good night, good evening, goodbye. Now, if you are looking, or you are interested in this person, give him the greeting back, and you say, would you like my Wakil number or his contact information? The brother says yes, then you give it to him. You notify your Wakil or your Wali, and you keep it moving. But people don't do that. They don't do it. And then it leads to other things. It leads to discord within your family. And a lot of these people are married. And brothers use this as you know, and I'm going to say it, and some people don't like that I say it, as a loophole. Because you feel like, oh, I can have more than one wife, So that gives you the authority just to be all talking to sisters in their inbox, which is haram, a stuff of law, fair law, because it's not halal for you to do that. The situation that I just explained is how you should handle that situation. If you're interested in the sister for marriage, find out if she's married first and foremost. Find out if she's interested in you. You get her Wakil information, and you carry it on from there. No, y'all want to go in and y'all want to have all these conversations and be going back and forth. Then, you know, the sister start getting in her feelings about you, this and that. And then your wife find out, and then you're like, oh, I can have more than one wife. You this and that, this and that. But look how you went about the situation. And then you wonder why your wife's mad. She ain't mad because you looking for a second wife. She mad because how you went about the situation. You know, we have to be mindful of those things, because just because we can do one thing don't mean we should do it. And don't mean that we, should be carrying on these things, even though we can do it. We shouldn't be doing it. It's haram. If you are able to marry that sister, and sisters, if you're able to marry that brother, and you know he married, and you're being disrespectful. Because what if he looks to go get a third wife? And he do the same thing, and you find out about it, you're going to be mad. You're definitely going to be mad. You're not going to be mad that he wanted to get a third wife. I mean, a little jealousy may come in that part. But you're mad because he was talking to that sister, or she was talking to that brother, which they had no business interacting with each other. Because, again, that's fornication with the eyes. If they're seeing each other, fornication with the tongue, because they talking. And I'm sure they ain't talking about Korean and Hadith. I can guarantee it almost. They ain't talking about that on their phone. They not. They absolutely not. Because it wouldn't get to that far. We have to learn to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to learn to fear, because if we knew what the punishment was for this type of, for these type of behaviors, we wouldn't do half these things. See, like, we like seeing is believing. But again, I told y'all, once y'all in that grave, there's no do-over. There's no, oh, I'm just going to suffer in the hellfire for, 3 days. No. No, like, and you're punished. Like, you can't even imagine that pain. We know that things that happen here on earth, the intensity of it in the grave or in the hellfire, it's going to be like 1,000 times worse than what it is here. Why would you even risk that? Fear law, do what you're supposed to do, and do things the correct way. We should not be, letting, a lot of people say, oh, the demise of the marriage and demise of, Muslims, this and that is Facebook and all this other stuff. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Facebook ain't got nothing to do with it. Instagram ain't got nothing to do with it. It's the people. It's the people. When I see people with a whole bunch of ratchet stuff on my page, because I accept a lot of people, for business and other things, other ventures, if I see a whole bunch of ratchet stuff and a whole bunch of pornography and all that kind of stuff on your page, I delete you. I block you. Because, like, a lot of times when people be like, oh, I had this on my timeline, I'm like, my timeline ain't never like that. Every once in a while it is, but other than that, I delete that person. I don't play all that. I don't do all that stuff, because it's not befitting of a Muslim, period, to have all that stuff on your page. If I see that you Muslim, you coming in and out your garb, you drinking, you smoking, you doing all that, I delete you. I delete you. If your brother constantly in my inbox and I constantly tell you, no, I'm not interested in getting married, and you want to keep persisting the issue, I block you. There's no, you constantly keep talking to me, this and that. And what that leads me to believe is that y'all sisters are allowing this, because these brothers wouldn't feel so comfortable doing it. I remember back in the day in the early 90s, when I first took my Shahada, brothers wouldn't look you in your face if you was Muslim. If you was a Muslim sister, brothers wouldn't look you in your face. They wouldn't dare look you in your face. I mean, eyes glued to the ground. They ain't looking. These brothers all up in your grill. They could tell you what you ate for breakfast, lunch, and probably dinner. And y'all allow it. see, you know, the sisters don't understand. We got the upper hand on that type of stuff. If we stopped it, what would the brothers do? They wouldn't continue to do it because they know we wouldn't tolerate it. So, I mean, you know, we have to learn to take these issues up, and we have to start enforcing the Quran and Hadith in our lives and implementing it. I mean, really implementing it and not taking it as a joke. You know, just because it's not penetration, you know, nobody's, you know, trying to lessen the sin for that. Nobody is. So, you know, we have to be mindful that it's a sin, and we need to avoid it at all costs. Before I conclude the call, just want to know if anybody have a comment, question, or concern. You can call in at 805-727-7013 and press 1, and I'll put you through. And I don't see anybody out there. So, inshallah, Thursday, the call will be about Giba, backbiting, slandering. I didn't do this show before, and I think it's important that we know when it is permissible and when it's not, and how we should go about the particular situation at hand. So if anybody wants to reach me, you can give me a call at 610-836-2120. You can call 24 hours a day. Not necessarily will I answer the phone, but you can send me a text message or leave me a voicemail, and I'll get back to you, inshallah. If you want to reach me via email, you can call me at you can send a message to me at qamrma@gmail.com. I'm on all social networks, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anyway. Okay, I see that we have a call here. Let me see here. This person too. Hello, thank you for calling Religion Is Alive.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
This is Brother Ali in Orlando. I wanted to say, I just wanted to say that I'm very happy to hear this type of subject. From the last time I talked with you, I think you were mentioning about marriage. I just happened to catch it again tonight as I'm walking around in the house. And all I wanted to say is that I think about the best thing that we can do is continue to do what you're doing and Brother Alfred and Brother Murad is doing, and that is try to touch the souls and hearts of those who have an ear to hear. Unfortunately, you know, I like to look at situations as being on a farm, and Allah mentions it that we are like plants. Every plant that is growing doesn't fulfill its full potential. We have a lot of stunted plants in our community, some men, some are women. So I would say that it's up to those who have the knowledge, the water, that we bring some water to them so that hopefully they can sprout and develop as they should be. And I think that if we continue to strive hard, being morally upright, as Imam Worthy Muhammad had told us to be, and being sincere in this religion, then I think that we have unlimited possibilities to grow and to grow and to multiply. I think where the problem lies with some of our communities is the fact that we are not getting the proper nourishment, and we are not being, first of all, real with ourselves. You know, we're afraid of failure. This has been the history of the African American. We're afraid of failure. We're afraid of responsibility. And I'm directing that at the men. A lot of our men are getting gunned down in the street simply because they will not take up the initiative to stand up as a human being and as a man. And until we can get our young men to understand that, look, once you're able to reproduce, you're responsible. You know, you can't run back home to mama and daddy and try to get the information that you need in order to develop. And if they don't have some kind of spiritual insight, we're really going to lose them.
Right.
You know, and I see it a lot, especially in Florida, you know. And I just want to say that if there's any way that I can possibly help, you know, please call on me. And I've extended that same help to Brother Murad and to Brother Alfred and to Mosque Cares, you know. And I think it's brothers and sisters like us who really have to band together and form a network so that we can help not just only save the African-American, but save the nation. Because
right.
The whole nation is in an uproar right now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I just wanted to say that. I just wanted to mention that and let you know again that you're doing a wonderful job. And I really enjoy it. I really enjoy the program.
Thank you
and,
so much. I appreciate you calling
in. Yes, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. And it's always great to hear from the callers. Brother Ali, he always calls in and gives positive feedback and advice, which I take and, you know, I use it to try to, you know, create these types of calls because it's important. You know, like, again, we don't want to do, you know, these types of sins because it leads to the detriment of and deterioration of our ummah, you know. Again, all kinds of bad things can come out of these situations. And these are things that, you know, we want to avoid if at all possible so we don't have to answer for those sins on the day of Yom Kiyama. So, again, this is Sister Qadira Aisha Muhammad for Religion Means Alive. And today's topic on October the 26th, 2015, was fornication and adultery from an Islamic perspective. For those of you who have friends and family who were not able to listen to the call tonight, I will recap and put the link for today's show so that it can be listened to at a later time. Thank you again for joining Religion Means Alive. Assalamu alaikum and have a good evening.